In this episode, I talk about how perfect my horses are. I mean, not just my horses, but your horses and all horses. And this is not some superficial positive thinking. It's a context and an attitude that has a tremendous influence on how you train and live with horses. So here we go, episode 246, My Horse is Perfect. Hey, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses, our horses will show up for us. So let's get started. I have a sign in my barn that says, my horse is perfect. And then later I got a second sign and that says, all my horses are perfect. I had another sign in my barn that said, it's okay to have too much fun. But my horses kept ripping that one down and breaking it, which somehow seems perfect. Now that sign lives inside my tack room. The only other sign I have in the barn is a small one over the tack room door that says Ancora Imparo. And that's what Michelangelo was said to have said after finishing painting the Sistine Chapel. Ancora Imparo means basically, I'm still learning. The My Horse is Perfect sign gets faded over time because it lives outside in the barn aisle, where the sun hits it. So every now and then I have to go over it again with a fat Sharpie. And I posted a video recently on social media showing me doing that. And many people seem to really connect with it. And someone said, I need that on a t-shirt, which made me think I can do that. So actually, if you go to the Dressage Naturally merch store, which you can get to at dressagenaturally.net/merch, MERCH. You can find it on my website too. Anyway, if you go there, you'll see some designs where you can have my horse is perfect on a t-shirt or a hat or a treat pouch or a pillow or a bag, all kinds of things. Anyway, and there's some other pretty fun designs in there too. I make all the designs. They're all made by me personally. So and it's one of those like print on demand stores. So in many, many countries, you can get really good shipping rates. So anyway, I didn't mean to make this an advertisement right off the bat, but anyway, I added the My Horse is Perfect stuff in there. Anywho, it got so much positive attention that I thought, you know, this really is a good subject to talk about on the podcast here. And there's a couple things I want to talk about. One is just having signs like that up. I know probably a lot of you post things around your house or, you know, back in the 90s or something when like all the affirmation posters were out. But I think it is important, or it can really help to, you know, put things in your environment that will help you think the way you'd like to think. I mean, we're all influenced by our surroundings, whether we're aware of it or not. And so we might as well be conscious about creating the atmosphere and, you know, the atmosphere. What's the vibe? What's the flavor of how you want to move through life? And a lot of times we don't think about what we can do, and small changes can have a big effect. You know, that's one of the reasons I have these signs up. I mean, those are the signs in my barn. My horse is perfect. All my horses are perfect. It's okay to have too much fun. And I'm still learning. So when you walk into my barn, that's the vibe you get. And I'm seeing those every day, even if I don't think that I'm looking at them. And so what this does is it actually will prime your brain. It'll prime your brain consciously or unconsciously to think in these ways. Now, I didn't put these signs up to try to get myself to think this way. I got them and I put them up because they resonated with the way I already think. And it's something that can be hard to explain. And but a simple thought, you know, because I'm going to babble on about it for some length of time on this podcast here. But sometimes just a simple thought of taking a deep concept and just going, my horse is perfect. And that makes me smile. And it does the job. So the art of developing horses is challenging, right? So it's good to have these reminders about where to come from. It's so easy to get caught up in the challenges and caught up in the details, which we need to address, we need to focus on, we need to get down in the weeds sometimes into those nitty gritty details, and we need to have standards and we need to be precise and all that stuff. And that's why I think it's so important to have the context, that we don't literally miss the forest for the trees. And making sure that you do have some overarching beliefs is important. The overarching beliefs, or what I've talked about before, the principles, the priorities, will absolutely have an effect on how you approach your challenges, how you make your decisions about the minutia, about the precision, about what exercise you do that day, or when do you take the day off, and when do you push more. One of the most common training challenges that I get asked about, or one of the most common training questions, is when do you do more? When do you back off? I mean, that's the question. You know, what should you be doing? And then do you do more and do you do less? And having principles, priorities, and overarching beliefs, and knowing your come from attitude will absolutely change your decision making around these things. And so that's where sometimes if we get sort of befuddled, we have to do two things. We got to zoom in and look at the minutia. But first, I will tend to step back and I will zoom out and look at the big picture and go, okay, where on the map am I? Where am I going? What's the most important foundational things that I can be thinking about? And that's, you know, the Happy Athlete Training Scale, which I talk about all the time, is a great visualization and graphic of that. Now, I often say, and you might have seen memes that I post on social media, that horses are perfect until we come along and ask the horse to do something he cannot do or to go in a situation he cannot handle. Horses are perfect until we come along and ask the horse to do something he cannot do or to go into a situation he cannot handle. So we are so responsible for the horse's whole experience. Even if we don't think we're quote unquote doing anything with our horse, we're still choosing to have him in a certain place, in a certain kind of situation, with certain things around him. And that is having an effect. So when we start thinking about and saying things like, my horse is perfect, or horses are perfect until we come along, this belief is wrapped up intimately with the realization that horses don't owe me anything. You know, horses are here on this planet to be horses, living as horses with horses. And that's it. That's it. They owe us nothing. Anything that they give us is a gift. Now, I've done podcasts and blogs about the assumption of obligingness. It was actually episode number 2 of this podcast was called the assumption of obligingness. Like, that's how important I thought it was. Episode 1 was what makes a good rider, and episode 2 was the assumption of obligingness. And then I revisited it in episode 190. So you can find, I invite you to go listen to those, and I'll put a link to the blog in the show notes. It's pretty easy to find. Now, again, this is not coming from a place of ego, right? Like I said in the beginning, it's not that my horses are perfect. My horses are perfect. I mean, they are. But I also think that your horse is perfect too, because all horses are perfect. And now I am aware that the word perfect can be kind of triggering for some people, or at least can cause some twitching. There's probably some people listening who you feel like one shoulder going up and your head kind of tilting over to one side, like, perfect. Ah, must be perfect. So here's what this idea of my horse is perfect is not. It's not about perfectionism. You know, perfectionism where you hold things to an impossibly, and that's the key word, an impossibly high standard. And then you pressure yourself or your horse to achieve unrealistic goals that will inevitably lead to disappointment. Perfectionists will tend to be really harsh critics of themselves, their work, their horses, and their failure to meet their own expectations. And when I say all that, it doesn't mean that I don't appreciate high standard and precise work. It's the impossibility of it. Most people who I've met who self-describe as perfectionists are not happy. They're stressed, they're anxious, they're hard on themselves. People who are doing really excellent work, many of them, well, the ones that I've met, don't describe themselves as perfectionists. They are just too busy focusing on actually doing the stuff. Now, I'm sure there's psychologists who can speak to this much more eloquently and educatedly than I am right here, but in my experience, that's been the case. And often when I help a quote-unquote or self-proclaimed perfectionist with their horses, most of the work is coming from adjusting expectations, right? Because perfectionism can be so much about having those unrealistic expectations, that their expectation is off, where I watch them and I see a challenge and I go, yeah, that's a normal challenge. Like, it's just stuff we gotta, you know, practice. Where a perfectionist to a fault will be hard on themselves. This shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't be having this problem. And this is where the problem, that is the problem. So when I use that word perfect here, I'm not holding a picture of an ideal image that a horse needs to be. And if he's not that, then he is less than perfect. And I also don't mean that when I say a horse is perfect, it doesn't mean that there's nothing that could change, that would be reasonable to change. It would be fun to change. It would be a good idea to change. So when I say a horse is perfect, it means that they simply are exactly as they are. It's less achievement-oriented. It's more acceptance-oriented. And I know some of you might be like, ooh, that's getting all fluffy and positive thinking-y. But stick with me. Even if I know I'm making some perfectionists out there twitch. So perfect is always going to be a result of our expectations in the normal sense of it. Like, well, how do I know if it's perfect unless I know what to expect and then I measure it by that and it either matches or it doesn't. But my expectation of a horse coming from this lack of an assumption of obligingness, right? I don't have an assumption of obligingness. As I said before, I expect nothing from them. They are only meant to be exactly who they are. So my expectation is that they are exactly as they are and that they behave exactly as they want to. And if I would like that to be different, then the game is for me to change their emotional state, to change their understanding, to change their physical abilities, so that they end up joining me in what I'm picturing for them or what we can do together. And it's not that they aren't perfect until that happens. And if we do start to match the expectations or the idea of what I might like them to join me in, then I could use that word, you know, perfect in that moment with the normal version of the word perfect to describe the training. Like, that was great training, right? It's not that the horse has to be perfect or imperfect. They're always perfect. They're always doing exactly what they're doing. Our training can be a complete mess or not, but the horses just are. And probably, well, maybe there's some of you out there now, because this is how brains operate. They're like, brains are turning. You're like, nope, I'm going to find the loophole. I'm thinking right now of examples of a horse that would not be perfect. So again, it comes to how we're defining perfect. There are horses who have had trauma or injury that are aggressive, unsafe for humans to be around. They could be injured, they could be sick, not behaving the way we want. Can we see those horses as perfect? Or at least as not wrong? Because chances are they are responding perfectly appropriately to what they feel or what has happened to them, what they've learned to do to keep themselves safe or comfortable. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally Video Classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1-week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. And we add new content every month. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. I mean, unlike humans, I think horses don't fake things or lie. Or maybe they do. But even if they do, we need to accept that is what they're doing. Remembering they didn't ask for any of this, and if they feel like they need to, quote unquote, fake a lameness to get out of being ridden, then that's exactly what they should do. Good for them. Smart horses. So again, from there, we can look at any gaps between what I'd like my horse to be doing, how I'd like him to be feeling, and what they are doing. And then that's training, and that's management. So hopefully we can do that so well that we can then move forward together in some sort of harmony. And again, it's more than just positive thinking or just learning how to manage your disappointments. It's not about applying a training technique, having it not work, and just brushing it off with a smile and go, oh, well, he's perfect. No, we still need to maybe look. How can we do it differently? What else can we do? We're still rolling up our sleeves and getting in the game and trying to interact and trying to feel and try to see our horse and trying to make the changes we want to make so that we can have outcomes that we want. But approaching it with the spirit of, my horse is perfect to begin with. That's what makes all the difference. And I'm sure you can think of examples. You can think of examples perhaps of trainers or competitors who are getting, similar results, but they're not similar. Let's say there's a trainer, two trainers who both win a lot or competing at the same level and are considered the same caliber. But you can see in their interactions with their horses, perhaps the one that sees their horses as flawed and they have an assumption of obligingness that their horse owes them something and must perform, versus a trainer with equal credentials and winnings or whatever, and that trainer is approaching their horse as if their horse is already perfect, as if the horse owes them nothing. I really believe it's more than just a fluffy way to look at things and a fun thing to put on a t-shirt. I think it will absolutely drive decisions. It will drive decisions in training, in management, in horse care. There's a phrase, "You're perfect the way you are, now change." It represents a spiritual paradox, suggesting that you're already loved and accepted, but also called to a process of transformation. And this can apply to our horses too. So next time you're with your horse, can you really see them as perfect, loved, and accepted, a perfect embodiment and expression of exactly who they are right here and now, and still embark on a journey of transformation together? Our expectations can change how we see our horses, but they don't change who they really are. And our particular judgments are not the only way they ought to be measured. So my horse is perfect can be an impossible standard that we can never achieve. It can be a cute sign in the barn, or it can be a profoundly honoring way of being in your horse's presence as the context in which you do all things. You can decide. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.